Griezmann, el niño Torres. Hay campo para Griezmann, hay campo para Griezmann y veo gol. Y pinta bien, y pinta bien, y pinta bien, gol. ¡Gol!
Hello and welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. I'm Jeremy Barron. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. I'm joined by my co-editor, Robbie Dunn.
How you doing, guys? And hello, Jeremy.
Hello, Robbie.
You can follow me at Bob Donadini, if you'd like.
Robbie, no, it's a little late in Ireland tonight.
That's just all right.
15 to midnight, but you're going strong.
I am, yeah, just about.
And it's a lovely, sweltering afternoon in Arizona for me.
Grand.
Over 100 degrees.
It was raining here, but it always rains here. It was actually nice, so it's kind of warm, so it's strange weather we're having. You could play it at any time of the year, and it would make sense, though, for Ireland. So
it's a lot of rain, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd still like to visit. So we have a lot to discuss today. A lot of news has broken since our last episode. Atletico finally found their number nine. We'll go in depth on Kevin Gamero and what he adds to the team. Also some transfer and renewal news, as well as a review of Atleti's preseason, including the Australia tour, and we will take your questions. So let's go. Let's jump right into it. We'll start, actually, with an old friend of ours, who no longer plays for Atletico. He now plays in MLS for NYCFC. Our old friend, David Villa. We still love you. Without you, we would be lost. We wouldn't win the league without you. We still love you. He was on Sesame Street today. And it's about a 2.5-minute clip. Our friends at Hudson River Blue were all over it. They were very excited. And it was a little skit with Cookie Monster and this other little aquamarine Muppet. I don't know her name. But they challenged him to, you know, bounce the ball 10 times in a row. So he did 10 headers in a row, and there was a celebration. And then he challenged Cookie Monster to a cookie-eating contest. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. That's funny,
so
actually,
go find it. Our old friend was on Sesame Street, and I laughed. I very much enjoyed it. He fit right in.
He's gone from height to height. I mean, going from the Vicente Calderon to the Sesame Street. I mean, where next, you know?
The sky is the limit.
Yeah, I mean, there's not...
It doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't, you know?
So go check that out from our friends at Hudson River Blue.
We'll throw a link up on the Twitter account. And
Yeah. We'll take a look at it. Throw it up later. Well, so this morning news broke that Lucas Hernandez has renewed his contract with Atleti, yet another renewal from this spring and summer. He's renewed to 2020. The 20-year-old said he was very happy to stay in the club of his life. And he became a major part of the team last year, just 20 years old. And the defender figures to be a huge part of Atleti's future.
He really does.
Really does.
Atletico really have a wealth of talent there at the moment, don't they? Both experienced and coming through. They've got, obviously, Diego Godin, probably if not the top central defender in the world, top three to top five. And then you've got Savic, who's proven himself. Well, he proved himself this year, and I think he's 26. Got a good head on his shoulders, middle age in terms of footballer's career. And then you've got Jimenez, Lucas Hernandez. I mean, we're really stocked there at the moment, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And Theo Hernandez as well has gone on loan to Alaves. That's been confirmed.
I really liked the look of him, and I really liked him against who do we play? Numancia. He came on in the second half and he was really good. I'm really, he's going to play a lot of minutes this year, so it's really exciting to watch him develop as well. And hopefully Lucas takes a step forward. And
he's only 20. The only way to go is up for him.
Yeah, and Theo's only 18, so they're really exciting young. I mean, for France and Atletico moving forward,
definitely.
It's really exciting.
They'll get caps. They'll get caps for France soon enough.
Yeah,
and they will. Next 5 years, they're going to become major parts of the team.
No, Atletico really got things sussed at the back at the moment, don't they?
Yes, they do. And there are some fans who are concerned about the left back situation, looking for a deputy for Felipe, who is starting to get a little older. But we've talked about this before. Felipe's doing fine, and his game is not really one that results in a lot of injuries. And at worst, Lucas can play left back. So Lucas will probably be his left back, his deputy.
And so can Versalco, yeah.
Versalco can play either fullback position as well. So Atleti are definitely covered there. Also, a couple days ago, Martin wrote about this. Martin Connolly, you might hear him on this podcast in a couple weeks.
We're trying to work out a financial package at the moment. He's high in demand, so...
Yes, the demands are a little extravagant, but we're working to negotiate a deal that is good for everyone.
Yeah.
So Borja Bastón looks to be on his way to Swansea City in the Premier League, an 18 million euro fee. It's a club record fee for Swansea, and it's good business for Atleti. They needed to make money on someone this summer, but selling Borja is something that both of us have gone on the record as being not really in favor of, even though he commands an 18 million euro fee.
Yeah, I think like what you're looking at here is kind of actually similar to, remember Alex Ferguson said that Gerrard's a top player, but he's just not a top player, and I think that's what you're looking at with Bastón. He is a top striker, but he's not probably a top striker to make a Champions League contender, you know, and he's going to score probably 15 goals, 18 goals for Swansea this year, but he just wasn't going to make it at Atletico, and I think they understood that. And sure, you could have given him a slight chance, but it would have been just a token gesture. They kind of had him figured out. They had him pinned to someone who wasn't going to make it. He's coming off an unbelievable year, and his value was only going to probably decrease. Now, understandably, Premier League clubs will always offer a lot of money in today's market, but I mean, you strike while the iron's hot, you know. It's football as a business. You don't kind of wait around and hope for the best. And I would imagine his valuation was only going downwards, because he wasn't going to play a lot of games for Atletico this year, and the few that he did was not going to add to his valuation. And I think it's a great bit of business for Swansea. They're getting a really good player at 20. He's 23. He's coming off a year where he scored a bucket load of goals, and he's strong. He's a big, powerful number nine, traditional number nine. They've got good backup in Llorente, and Bastón is probably a bit of a chip on his shoulder now, the fact that Atletico didn't and he wanted to prove a point. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think it's a good deal.
I was going to say, about they got Llorente too. That's been confirmed. So that's a pretty good strike pair.
Yeah.
I think good contrast in styles. From a pure business standpoint, this is the right deal. You're getting nearly 20 million for him. And the fact that he's not going to a top club, all credit to Swansea. Swansea are decent, but it's not a club that's in the Europa League, not a club that's in the Champions League. I hope I don't offend any Swansea fans by saying that, but just to be realistic, this is not a club that's going to finish top six, top seven.
No,
you're still getting a good fee for him. I think from a sentimental standpoint, I think a lot of Atleti fans wanted to see him succeed. I wanted to see him succeed at Atletico, but his characteristics may not be what Simeone is looking for.
Yeah.
He's not quite the dynamic kind of player that we'll talk about Gamero in depth, but he's not the kind of player that Gamero is. He's not the kind of player that is going to track back, pressure center backs relentlessly, start counterattacks. He's not that kind of number nine.
Yeah.
And that means he probably would not get a lot of time at Atletico. That said, I didn't see the harm in giving him a chance.
Mm.
And yet, but although the other side of that coin is you have to consider how Atleti gave Jackson and Vieto chances last year, and it didn't go well for either of them.
Yeah.
So Atleti can't really afford to wait.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That I think was the overriding thing, is that they couldn't afford to wait. They wanted to see how he would do. Maybe there's a buyback clause. If he does well for the next year or two, they may buy him back if such a clause is included in his deal, but I wouldn't count on it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'd say that's it now for Baston at the Calderon. Well, definitely the Calderon, because we won't be there next year or the year after.
Because we'll be next year, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and I mean, Atletico struggled last year in terms of scoring goals, and I spoke about this before, my thoughts anyway, I think it's a slight little tiny blot on Simeone's CV at the moment, that he can't seem to find that striker. And I mean, he's gotten two or three now and none of them have worked, so it gets to the point where there's one common denominator, and he's not willing. He can't miss again on a striker, and miss out on maybe Champions League, a potential La Liga, potential Copa del Rey, when he's not going to be taking any chances on the likes of Baston, and he's going to sell him to the highest bidder.
Yeah, that's the next point I was going to make, and it leads in perfectly to our first topic, or second topic, really, Kevin Gamero. Atleti cannot afford to screw this one up, especially with the transfer ban incoming. But Kevin Gamero has joined from Sevilla. It's official. $32 million initial fee, $5 million in add-ons. And he got hurt 2 days after joining the club. His third day of training, he got hurt. Slight thigh injury. He should be fine. So we won't harp too much on that. But a lot of people tweeting to us, leaving comments on the blog, really pinned their hopes on getting Diego Costa back this summer.
Mm.
And I've gone on the record as saying that would not have been the most prudent move, as much as I love Costa. We love Diego Costa. But he is a Chelsea player, and it's not 2014. It's 2016, going into 2017. And Atleti have to be moving forward. And I think Gamero is, you know, there have been criticisms of him. You know, he's 29. He's bounced around. He found a home at Sevilla, but he's bounced around clubs for a lot of his career. But getting him is another clear step in Atletico's evolution. Getting him and his style of play, he's a different striker than Costa. He's not as powerful, not as big. You know, Atleti are going with two kind of small strikers up top in Gamero and Griezmann. Neither of them are very tall. Both are stronger than they look, but neither of them is very tall. But what they do have is pace, what they have is speed, dynamism, tracking back, pressuring center backs, hounding them, and starting counterattacks and popping up anywhere along the pitch.
Yeah.
Gamero has, I think, the second most shots in the side of the six-yard box of anyone in La Liga last season, other than some guy named Luis Suarez. And that's something that Atletico missed last season. They didn't have a lot of guys who could pop up in different areas in the box and just get shots off. Gamero is that type of player, and it speaks to Simeone's continuing evolution at Atletico. They're going to play differently this season. If the Gaitán signing didn't tell you that, the Gamero signing should. They're going to be a lot more fluid in attack, if you know, assuming the adjustment period won't take long. I don't think they will. They're going to play differently. They're going to be a much more fluid team, a more tactically flexible team. They're going to be predicated a lot more on speed and pace rather than aggressive physical play.
Yeah.
And it honestly, I think it's for the best that Costa didn't come back this summer. Maybe that's something that Atletico revisit in the future, maybe in a couple of years. But it's for the best that Atletico didn't strap themselves to Costa and spend $60 million on him, considering his injury history, his inconsistent season last year, and the fact that Chelsea were not in a position to sell.
And the fact that he was so good with Atletico he's going to have to outdo that, and that's immediate pressure that you have to perform. And Gamero's a blank slate, comes in and he creates his own little bit of history, hopefully. And I think that's important. But yeah, you're right about Gamero. And he's kind of similar to Costa in that way. He scores those kind of goals, those little scuttery goals, I suppose I call them. He's able to do that. He's really good at that, actually. And that's the kind of way Costa plays as well, like real, you get a poke to a ball and stuff like that, whereas maybe the likes of someone like Torres isn't particularly like that, but that's what we need, like, you know, we haven't had that. We thought we might get it with Jackson Martinez. I remember Tim Vickery saying, they were talking about Jackson when he signed with Atletico, and he said he scores goals, and that's just all he does. He just scores goals. And they were like, well, can you expand? And he was like, no, listen, this is what he is a master at, getting his foot on a, just scoring. And we thought we were going to get that from him, and we didn't. So hopefully we can get it from Gamero. He's not as one-dimensional as someone like Jackson, and he is really, really quick and can put pressure on defenders. He's like you said, a dynamic kind of player, and look forward to watching him. But he gets those kind of goals, and he's a really good signing, to be honest with you. And I have gone on record saying I would have loved to have Costa back, but you're right, it was time to move on. And it's not really nice to be involved this deep into the transfer market with that kind of drama, and you know, you just, there's a point when you, like, that's kind of old Atletico Madrid, I suppose, being involved in that kind of crap, I suppose, and like this talking about other players and blah blah blah, and then falling out with her, and it's just all over the internet and paper. Let's just separate ourselves from that, and I suppose Simeone will be intent on solidifying his squad. Calling it a day on transfers, or outgoing and ingoing, and figuring it out from there, and settling in with his team, you know. So yeah, it's exciting. It's a very exciting move. Gamero excites me. He's so quick that he's just one of those players that excites you no matter who he's playing against.
He was great last season, and I think it's a safe, reliable signing. You're not going and bringing in Higuain, who is not nearly as dynamic. He's a wonderful striker. I don't care what he does for Argentina, by the way. But I, you know, spending that much money on Higuain might not have worked. You're not going out and getting Carlos Bacca, which I think Bacca would have been a terrible fit. I like Bacca. I rate him, but he would have been a bad fit at Atletico.
Yeah.
And you hit the nail right on the head, or Tim Vickery did with Jackson. All he did was score goals, which is great, but what else does he do? Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Gamero does more than score goals. You see Gamero a lot of times just, you know, running around, popping up in the 6-yard box, playing off his teammates, playing off his strike partner, and starting counterattacks in the middle of the park.
Yeah, that's massive. I actually, that one thing was from the Copa del Rey final last year when he was toe for toe with Mascherano, and he had him all hands down. He was beaten, and Mascherano just had to pull him down.
And take the red card. Yep.
Yeah, he's just that kind of quick kind of a player. But I said it on my Twitter account there the other day about Gamero. I can't remember him ever being that injured at Sevilla, but he does have that kind of, do you know those kind of players who are just all like sinew, like they're just all muscle, and those kind of fast twitch muscles, like.
He's buff. Gamero is in shape. Yeah,
and he is lean as anything.
Yes,
and I'd say that's the thigh injury and getting used to Simeone's way, and I'm sure that'll be rectified like pretty quickly, and hopefully it doesn't become an ongoing thing. But it's a very exciting signing, and I'm really excited. And he's saying all the right things too. Have you heard what he said?
Yeah, he was interviewing with L'Equipe in France. He said he rejected Barcelona because he knew he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
And he knew he was just going to be the fourth striker.
Yeah. And he didn't want to be recruited for that sole purpose, to sit behind the lads. So the lads meaning MSN. But
Yeah.
And he said, purely sporting reasons, I wanted to come and make a name for myself here. And like, it was financially more lucrative, but that's all fans want to hear, you know? That's
7,000 fans showed up for his presentation. He's going to be loved. He's going to be loved.
That's all fans
want. As long as he performs.
It's not about the money for them, and he came to play. Just wants to play for your team. That's all fans want. You're already onto a winner straight away. I mean, all you need to do is go out and try your best then from that point and let their football do the talking. So, yeah, we're off to a winner at the moment, and Gamero. I'm very positive about this one. While I wasn't, not that I wasn't, but I would have preferred Costa. And Bacca is like a poor man's Gamero. He's just that slight bit slower. He's that slight bit less strong. He's that slight bit worse of a as a kind of goal scorer finisher. So yeah, we've got. I think it's the best we could have done.
I think they could have done better. Like, I would have killed to have seen Aubameyang wearing red and white. He would have been a massive signing, but no way were Dortmund letting him go.
No. So, I mean, in terms of it's kind of like playing Football Manager. Like, you go and you try and buy these players, and it's like, this player, like, leave him alone. He does not want to move. Like, the interest of him, he has no interest. You go and do a scouting report on him, and it's like, he has no interest in playing with your club. But, not to say Aubameyang didn't want to play, but they were never going to sell him. He's there for... And it's not like it would have been an upgrade. Dortmund and Atletico would be quite similar in terms of what they're trying to achieve and challenging for Bundesliga, La Liga, Champions League. So
yeah, I think very similar ambitions. I mean, yeah, and there was an argument for Icardi. I know how highly you rate Icardi.
Yeah.
But with his baggage, I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, all told, it's a fine signing.
Yeah, yeah. We'll revisit it after a couple of weeks. We've only got about 11 days, 12 days until we actually see him in action. So we'll assess him from there. We'll make sure to get a post up highlighting Gamero's debut.
In the meantime, before the season gets underway, we have the preseason to talk about. Atleti's preseason is just about over. The Trofeo Carranza is still to play. In a preseason trophy, Atletico have won it more times than anybody. We talked about their game against Numancia. They won 2-0. Then they flew to Australia for a couple games, played Spurs and Melbourne Victory. A game against Spurs, 1-0 win, very tight game, had kind of a Champions League quality to it, oddly enough. Hmm. Maybe that was just me, but it had kind of a European, you know, big European night quality to it. And it was a very tight game. Decided by a Godin goal off a set piece. Oblak made some massive saves, and Atleti sent out a pretty strong team and won 1-0.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah, they were under the cosh for quite a long time. Spurs just couldn't seem to finish them. And as you say, Oblak made some absolutely phenomenal saves.
He was great in that game.
Yeah. Like, world class. Shouldn't have been saving them. Not
he's
human kind of
he's
ones.
So good.
One of the,
so good.
Fabulous goalkeeper. But yeah, they were under the cosh for Spurs. Just couldn't seem to score on Atletico. And Atletico pushed their luck a good few times. But yeah, they got a good look at a lot of their starters and that. And yeah, it was good.
Then they played Melbourne Victory, and Simeone sent out a much younger team, mostly a lot of B-team players, Canteranos, and Melbourne Victory won. This is a team that also beat Juventus on penalties this summer. So they won 1-0, though, on a goal just before
enough,
halftime.
Melbourne Victory got a victory.
Yeah. I think it was because Atleti wore the red shorts.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're saying that, yeah. Very good look. It's a
the
bad
red
look.
Shorts with the red and white shirts. I don't know why they keep doing that.
It's a bad look, and it's bad luck.
I see what you did there. But a lot of young players. Oblak didn't even play the entire game. Savage and Saul came on only in the second half. But it was and Simeone said after the game, he thought they played well. It was a really good experience for those guys who are going to be in the B team or are going to be loaned out.
Yeah.
and not really much to be upset about. It wasn't Atleti at full strength. And, you know, fair play to Melbourne victory, kind of did Atleti one right back. They won kind of the Atletico way, a header before halftime.
Yeah, and like you were saying there with the Bees, and against Numancia and against Spurs, and not that they should, and you'd be kind of worried if they were running around like it was a Champions League game or a La Liga game, but they haven't really looked anywhere near, like they've looked fit, but they kind of looked a little bit disinterested, which is completely normal. And
definitely.
Yeah, and I'm sure, and I haven't actually, I'm going to look it up now, but I'm sure Simeone's playing 11 on 11 games at training and making sure that they're working hard in that respect. And there's a lot of players
at this point, the training sessions are the games. They're the real games.
Those guys are being put through their paces, I'd say. And
yes.
I mean, yeah, there's not going to be an issue there. So even, actually, Victor has a piece on the Crotone game. Am I saying that right?
I think it's Crotone, I believe.
Oh, Crotone, okay, yeah.
I took one semester of Italian, don't quote me on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've only taken one semester of it. I believe it's Crotone.
I eat a lot of pasta and pizza. Is that count?
So I'm like an honorary Italian with all the pasta I eat.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I'm in the right.
I'm in love with... Well, I was in love with calzones before this, but I'm in love with Parks and Recreation and...
What's the
calzone zone? Yeah, the no-cal, low-cal calzone zone. Yeah, I'm in love with that show. So, but anyway, back,
a great show.
Yeah, so Crotone, they are. Yeah, I've got a Victor sent in a piece there. And he's going to edit it and put it up and tactical piece and. I'm actually going to have a quick look around at the. I've downloaded the game there, and I'm going to have a look. So, I doubt Simeone's going to give away too many of his secrets to me when I watch it, but I'm sure I'll figure it out and have a look. But I just get the sense that he's holding back Saul, Koke, so many of them. Godin has played a fair bit and that, but. I don't know. I find it hard to read too much into it.
We won't cramp Victor's style. We'll just go through some of the key points from that game. It was supposed to be in Istanbul against Galatasaray, but obviously with the situation in Turkey, that the Atleti, it just wasn't safe for Atletico and Galatasaray to play that game. Yeah. So rescheduled it with Crotone, who were brand new to Serie A, finished second in Serie B last season. Not really much in it in the first half. Gaetan came on for his debut at halftime and instantly changed the game. He scored the first goal. Carrasco did a lot of the dirty work, picked up the ball near the halfway line. Great, powerful run. Then a really sick pass into the box for Gaetan, who duly finished. Crotone didn't even get a shot off until I believe it was the 67th minute. And they pressured late before Diogo Jota finished it off. Pounced on a back pass, a really poor pass, and just slotted home at the very end for the 2-0 win. You're right, I think Simeone is kind of holding things back, but go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned the three players you mentioned there that had a big impact, Gaetan, Carrasco, and Jota. Like, those three guys are going to be huge. We're talking about Gamero, the strikers, Torres. Like, those guys are going to play a massive role in whatever it is that Atletico are doing this year. And there's so three excellent options based on what we've heard and what we've seen from Jota so far, and the highlights and stuff. We know Carrasco and we know Gaetan. We know what he's capable of doing when he's on his game. So listen, we mightn't even need Kevin Gamero by the end of it. Well, we might need him on the field, but we might be getting enough goals from those guys that it might ease the pressure on the strikers.
That's the hope. And Gaetan in particular, who is as adept at scoring them as he is creating them. And we do have a question about him in the upcoming mailbag, which we'll get to in a little bit here. But overall, I think you're right that Simeone has kind of held back a bit this preseason. I'd like to have still kept three clean sheets out of four games. So, you know, you keep clean sheets like you breathe oxygen at that at this club. But you get a sense that there's still some work to be done, some kinks to be ironed out. Because especially Atletico just got their full squad back today. Griezmann just got back to training today.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get the sense that there's still some work to be done, and there will still be a few adjustments to be made. But overall, you know, defense looks as good as ever. Tactics look as good as ever. It's just a matter of finishing out the preseason and getting things underway. Overall, it's been a success, though.
Yeah, and they've got a... And I know last year they opened the season to Las Palmas, and it was supposed to be an easy... There's no such thing as an easy game, cliches, all that, but it was a home game against a newly promoted side, and they only ended up winning 1-0, but they've got the same game, the newly promoted at home, on a Sunday night against Alaves this season, so it's you would think it's a nice way to kind of ease your way into the season. It's not like you're starting away against I don't know, someone, Celta Vigo or someone like Barcelona or Real.
Or Villarreal, yep.
Yeah, someone real, a real tough one.
I dread going to El Madrigal.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and they're a lot better. They're going to be probably a lot better this year too, so... Yeah,
they signed Soriano from Sampdoria. Very good signing for them.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't actually seen too much of him.
He's good.
Is he good?
Little inconsistent, but from what I've seen, he's really highly rated.
We'll see how Villarreal, obviously, being in the Champions League is going to be a huge difference for them, so... But, yeah, at least we're not starting the league against them.
Not starting away at a horror ground, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
But I thought that was a pretty interesting quirk, that last season we started against Las Palmas, and this season we started against Alaves. Mm. And we ended last season at home, we're ending this season at home. I thought that was a pretty interesting scheduling quirk.
Yeah, hopefully it matters, the games, the last game of the season.
Yep, or it almost did last, second to last game was mattered last year.
Hopefully it doesn't matter. And we've already 12 points clear at the top of the league at that point.
That's the hope. Just going for gearing points up for 98, another Champions 99, League 100. Final.
But
so that is the hope, that maybe we're 20 points clear at the end of this.
Yeah, yeah. That's my bet anyway.
So now we move on from the preseason. The Olympics are going on right now, and we have a very special player there, Angel Correa, scored yesterday for Argentina. This is a great goal in Argentina's victory yesterday. Hmm. So hoping he does well and comes back from Brazil in one piece.
Do you know the way, like, you have everyone has their kind of quirks, and there's words you use to describe things that, my word is like a fabulous, and I just call Oblak a fabulous footballer, a goalkeeper, and Angel Correa is a fabulous, that's like my go-to term when I really mean it.
He is terrific. It was a great goal he scored yesterday, it was from a goal kick, basically, a great goal kick. And Correa just latched onto it, expert finish. And he's just another great young player. And he's got to play more this year. He will have to play more.
I'd imagine Santos Borre will go out on loan, maybe.
He seems to be making an impression. He's played a lot this preseason, as has Jota. But I think they're both going to go on loan to further their development. There's just not going to be enough playing time for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Although if Simeone does want to keep a fifth striker on the team, Santos Borre might stay, but he's so young that it'd be better just give him to like a Leganes or somewhere.
I wonder if he's gonna be highly reliant on that left and right wing. If he does play the 4-3-3, he's going to need... maybe Cota will stay around, but it'll be interesting to see the next couple of weeks.
As Atleti kind of get the squad together. I think once the Borja Bastón signing is announced, it's going to be like a domino effect. You're going to see a lot of transactions happen. Oliver Torres' future will be sorted out.
Yeah, I feel for him. He's still only 21.
Could be sold.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
They need to make one more sale this summer to at least make it look like they balanced the books. Their net spend is going to be shot. Their net spend is going to be about negative $40 million this summer, but they can afford it. Their finances are strong. They put themselves in position so that they can afford that. But they need to make one more sale.
There's been surprisingly little talk about Oliver.
I was talking about this with someone on Twitter the other day, and it's interesting because all the rage in March and April and May was, oh, he's out the door. He's going to be the first one gone. And we're sitting here on August 8th or August 9th for you, and there's no traction. He hasn't played a huge role in preseason. He's still around.
No, exactly. He's not even like he's making an impression preseason. It's just all the... And not that there was ever anything bad, but it's just turned to apathy. It's not, and I don't mean that from the players. We'd love to see him doing well, but no, he's just forgotten about. He's like, there's nothing there. Yeah.
There was talk that Porto was really close to getting him back on loan with an option to buy or a deal similar to that, but nothing came of it. And I saw Atleti were valuing him at 30 million euros. I don't think that's true. I think he'll go for less than that. But it's very strange how there's not much traction.
20 to 25 million at 21 years of age and having played, I would say, a significant role for Atletico, but having played and featured for Atletico, and just, and it's not that he's played that poorly, he just hasn't been able to adapt to the style. So if he was in a position that he loved and he just wasn't playing well and he bottled it and he just couldn't do it, fair enough. But he just been a bad fit. So you could convince someone to maybe not 30, might be a bit excessive, but you're looking at 25 euro for him, yeah. 25 million.
Well, you're looking at a team like Crystal Palace could take him, you know, if they slow Blossom or something. But you see the flashes with Oliver. He's got talent. He's got technical skill.
But that would suit him as well, Porto. He really liked his time there when he was on loan, so, and he really developed well and stuff, so we'll see.
Yeah, he seems like a player perfectly tailored for Spain and Portugal. So preferably for his development, I'd like to see him go somewhere else in Spain or Portugal, but we'll see what happens with him.
And that's probably why there hasn't been a whole bunch of talk, because if he was a good fit for the Premier League, they'd be all talking about him. But he's
speaking of
really...
someone who doesn't have much talk around him, Alessio Cerchi is back.
Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
He's not playing. He's been excommunicated, and they're trying. Atletico are trying desperately to get him moved on. But he came back to Atletico. His loan deal was up.
Genoa, yeah.
He was at Genoa. He played okay at Genoa after Milan said, you know what, we don't want him anymore. He's terrible. Which we knew 2 years ago.
He had a great year for Torino. That him
there,
and,
there
him
was
and,
a time I thought he was the missing piece. I really did.
Oh, Jeremy, don't be telling people that, man. There's people listening to
this. I may lose some just respect.
Like,
I know.
There's like two people listening to this.
And I feel embarrassed for this, but I thought he was the missing piece, man. He was electrifying at Torino in 2013-14.
I actually think I wrote something one time that the same. not the missing piece, but I was like, he's really good.
Oh, come on,
and
Robbie, there are people listening to this.
But him and Immobile were excellent for Torino that year.
And they were a great pair, yes,
like,
they were.
I was like, this guy is powerful, he runs with purpose, he's strong.
Can pass, can finish, can play on the wing, can play behind a striker.
No, it turns out that it was a facade.
Oh, God. And then we signed him, and he couldn't stay onside. He had a horrible attitude. The one goal he scored was against Malmo. It was the final goal in the 5-0 win against Malmo in the Champions League.
Yeah.
It was a thunder bastard of a goal. Didn't he? It was an absolute thunderbolt.
Which is even more frustrating because it showed he actually can do it, but...
I remember he got a red card against Valencia. He came on as a substitute against Valencia and got a red card for a handball.
Yeah. I remember that, actually. Oh, the fans were not happy that day. We lost that day, too.
3-1. We went down 3-0 inside 15 minutes.
Yeah.
At Mestalla. That was when Valencia were actually good.
Yeah, no.
But at any rate, Churchy is still an Atletico player, and I think it would be really funny slash awesome slash sad if he actually ended up staying. He won't. They'll organize something for him. Even if it's the second division of Italian football, the third division of Italian football, they'll do it. But I think it would be really funny if he stayed.
Yeah, an Italian team will take him. Atletico will pay half or most of his wages, and they'll take him just to get rid of him. But, so if there's any Italian football owners, club owners that are looking for a footballer, we've got one for you.
Hey, if you're listening to this, just ignore what we said. Churchy's awesome. Churchy's a fantastic footballer.
I'll edit that out, Jeremy, the part about us talking crap.
Yeah, I thought he was the missing piece, so I clearly know what I'm talking about.
Jeremy Barron, the scout.
I'm an expert scout. Hit me with all your best takes. Your best scouting takes. Give me all of them. Oh, God. I'm like humiliated in retrospect.
Yeah. I'm anyway. As bad at scouting as Alessio Cerchi is at football.
That's mint.
And that is a bad thing.
Oh, dear. So anyway, let's move on from depressing Italian footballers. We have a bulging mailbag this week, and we're both very excited about this. Thank you to those of you who submitted your questions on our Twitter account, at Into the Calderon. Also, like us on Facebook. We cracked 100 likes the other day, which is very exciting. We're over 100 now. Yeah. Now I think 103 was the last check.
No, I didn't know that. Thanks to the 103 people who like us.
We're not gremlins. We're very nice people. So thank you for liking us, hitting us up on Twitter and Facebook, reading the stuff we write. Means a lot to us. So let's get started with the mailbag. This is from at Pfeifferchild. Quick question. Who is your current favorite player for Atleti and also your favorite Atleti player of all time? Robbie, you first. Putting you on the spot. Start with right current now, and then work your way back.
Yeah, so current. I always have to make it real complicated. In terms of just purely football, I love Saul, and I'm on record. I love him. I've written about him. I've talked about him. I've dreamt about him. I love him. I think Saul is he's a fabulous footballer, as I like to say. He really is. I love his attitude. Just the fact that he gets on with business. He's a real diehard Atletico Madrid player, and I love to watch him play. He excites me, and I'd have to go with him. And he excites me in terms of what he can do in the future, too.
It's a good shout.
Yeah. And in past, I don't know, like, probably, and I know this is kind of a little bit obvious, maybe, but Diego Costa.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if he signed with Atletico again, I don't think I'd be able to contain my excitement.
You'd buy a jersey. You start with buying a jersey, then work your way up.
I get this weird feeling in my stomach when I see old pictures of him in an Atletico jersey.
That's remember how you know that, he's your favorite.
Like, do you remember that? I used to, like, sitting up on a Sunday night watching it. Oh, I used to love it. Every week he'd do something. And he was just a bastard, but he was our bastard, you know? So I must say it. I'd probably go with Diego Costa.
Quick question, add on to that. what was your favorite goal that Costa scored in the title-winning season?
Oh, God.
I think mine was the one, I think it was at Getafe, when it was in, like, very end of the game, scored a goal, and then crashed into the goalpost, gashed his leg open. That was my favorite goal. Probably of that entire season, that might have been, other than Godin's goal at Camp Nou, that might have been my favorite goal that season.
What year was the one he kind of, it was a weird bicycle kicky.
That was that year.
Yeah, that was my favorite goal.
He did that against Milan in the Champions League. He did that against somebody else in the league as well. I don't remember who.
Oh, it's so unorthodox, but that's what you like. Like, it's really exciting. And he used to do... Remember he got in a fight with... I can't remember who the player was. Oh, was it Musashio?
Was it?
And he was grabbing him and they were elbowing each other and like...
Yeah.
Oh, just like really kid... Not kid stuff, but real amateur. Like,
he was such a bastard.
You never see that kind of thing.
He spat at Sergio Ramos.
Oh, yeah, like he's...
You can't not like a guy who does that.
But he is filthy, like it's... I used to love watching him play.
He was phenomenal, especially that season. Favorite current player? I wrestled with this one, because the easy answer is Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah.
But I love all of them, but I'm going to say Godin is my favorite current player. I think he's the kind of guy who symbolizes Atleti's and its ethos. Here's a guy who... You know, was pretty good at Villarreal. We bought him for, I think it was 8 million was the price. Might have been a little more. But started out at Atletico. A lot of fans don't remember this, but he was really bad in his early days at Atletico. And now he's become, under Simeone, the best center back in the world. And he scored some of the most important goals in the club's history. The goal that won the title, the La Liga title. The goal that should have won the Champions League in 2014. And he's rugged. He's a warrior. He's not afraid of anybody. Anybody. Yeah. Do not step to Diego Godin. And no. I think he's the bedrock on which this team is built, and everything just kind of emanates from him and his presence and in the middle of the back four. So I think my favorite is Diego Godin.
Yeah, you can see Godin sticking around and maybe coaching Atletico.
Maybe.
You know, he's that kind of player.
He posted a video the other day commemorating, you know, the anniversary, his 6-year anniversary of coming to Atletico.
Yeah, I saw that.
The club is ingrained in him.
Yeah, and just a word on Griezmann. I mean, I love Antoine Griezmann. He's great. But there's that little bit of kind of fear to commit, because I have a worry that he'll just leave. Whereas I could see the likes of Saul sticking around for the next 6-7 years, or 5 or 6 years. And really...
Hey, Godin's going to be here for life.
Oh, yeah. You can see Godin retire.
Guys like Godin, Juan Fran, Felipe, they're here for life.
Yeah. And... But with Griezmann, there's that little bit of fear to commit... Because he could be gone by maybe in a year's time, so...
Yeah, we don't like to think about that. But everything coming out of Griezmann's camp says he's happy. You know, he just renewed his contract. He's very happy at Atletico. Very, very happy under Simeone. And it might reach a point where Simeone and Antoine are a package deal. Mm. Where if one leaves, the other leaves. It could reach that point. And unless someone comes in with an offer of $100 million for Griezmann, he's not leaving.
Yeah. So I think it's actually more worrying to think about Simeone leaving, because I think once Simeone goes, you might see a small bit of an exodus. Like, what if he's...
That
the
is definitely the concern.
Yeah. I mean, players come and go, but a coach, once in an era, once in a... What would you say, lifetime, once in... Yeah,
once in a generation kind of coach.
Once in a generation. Like, I'd be worried that they'll lose a lot of players once he goes. And yes, losing him, that's one thing. But then you're worried, who are they going to replace him with? Will they get the right guy? So
you don't want to be the man following the man, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's a problem we have to worry about in a couple of years at least.
Yeah.
As for my favorite Atleti player of all time, that's a tough one. Radamel Falcao is kind of the guy who made me an Atletico supporter.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd be the easy answer. But Atletico have had so many colorful characters, both good and bad, in their history. And Falcao is very special to me. I think I'm going to go with him, but you can look at pretty much everyone from the 95-96 team. Kiko Narvaez is another personal favorite. Love Kiko. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink was our striker on the team that got relegated.
Yeah.
If Christian Vieri wasn't so insufferable, he'd be up there.
Yeah, I was thinking, because someone else asked the question about who would you come back, who would you get to come back, and I was thinking of Vieri just for being a number nine, but...
Yeah, that's also from Pfeiffer Child. If you could buy back any Atletico player from past or from present, who would you pick? You would pick Costa, I know you would.
Yeah. I know it's a little bit too close to the bone, like, and close to a couple of years ago, but, and it might be a bit difficult for him to return, but I just wish he had never left, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
Maybe, yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah. And shout out as well for Luis Aragonés in terms of best all-time players.
Legend.
But, yeah.
Aragonés.
We're talking just to let you know, we're talking about an hour kind of lifetime or like watching Atleticos, so
I wasn't around in Aragonés' day, you know?
No, so but we do understand that he is probably the best of all time
for Atletico. Yeah, he's probably our greatest ever player. Yeah. If you were to buy back any ex-Atletico player past or present, that's also a tough one.
Yeah,
the sarcastic dick in me wants to say I'd buy Raul Jimenez back.
Oh yeah.
That guy. Thank you, George Mendes.
Oh, God. Did he ever even play for Atletico, like?
He played, I think he played about 30 games that one year, in 2014-15, scored one goal.
Now he's
like Benfica's record signing, which is endlessly funny to me.
And almost put us out of the Champions League, too.
I would consider buying back Ushfalusi. Class really? Fullback on the Europa League teams. Or the 2010 team. He was class on that team. And as a deputy to Juanfran, you can move Versalco to left back full time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Ucho would be a pretty good fit.
We're so set on in defense, I don't even really think about that when I... Or goalkeeper, I would have, like... You can say De Gea or someone like that, but...
De Gea, yeah.
At the moment, we've got such a good goalkeeper in back four that you don't even think about those guys.
What a guy De Gea is for coming so close to moving to Real Madrid and then slandering them a year later. What a guy he is.
Yeah.
After they won the Champions League, he said Atletico deserved to win it, and that pretty much burned that bridge. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Gained all my respect back for DDG.
If that stuff didn't happen with Aguero at the end of his time with Atletico and forcing his move out of the club, I would have
just after signing a new contract, no less.
Yeah, I'd love to have him at number nine right now. Maybe him 2 years ago or a year. Yeah,
I'd take Forlán back.
Yeah, yeah.
Diego Forlán was amazing at Atletico.
Yeah.
And he was, his career, he made that big move to Man United, didn't do too well. Went to Villarreal, was on the up and up, again, came to Atletico and became one of the most dangerous strikers in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
And scored both goals in the 2010 Europa League final, which made him a hero to a lot of people.
Yeah, scored important goals, yeah.
Now, the next question we've got is from @WinterTraps. What is the most likely formation Simeone employs this season as we return to the present? The 4-4-2, or does he sit Torres at 9 and go 4-3-3? I think he's going to stick with the 4-4-2, but he's going to play 4-3-3 more. And that's why I think Torres is still going to have a role to play in this team, because Torres can do something that Griezmann and Gamero can't necessarily, and that's win aerial duels.
Yeah. I had this discussion with a guy before about, like, well, when do you call it? How they line up or what kind of players you play in terms of that formation. So I think he'll remain in two banks of four with two up front and kind of a loitering number 10 moving around. But in terms of going forward, what he could do is play Koke in midfield, at centre midfield, and push him up to it. Like he was shuttling, like the way he used to shuttle from left into midfield, he'll shuttle from number 10 back into more defensive role. So it'll be almost like a 4-2-3 with your two wingers, one of them being Griezmann, one of them being Gaetan. Koke at the number 10 when they're attacking and it's set up to attack, and then Gamero up front. So, and then that'll be a 4-3-3, and that would be considered a 4-3-3, but then you'll have, like, say Gabby and Thiago minding the house, and that's essentially a 4-2-3-1. Yeah. As your two number sixes, and that's like a 4-2-3-1. But it really depends on who they're going to be playing. And it's just a really nice thing to think that Atletico are at a stage in their evolution under Simeone that they've gotten the chance to play a more attacking style, an attacking 4-2-3-1. Whereas before they were kind of, and this happened I think the year before last when they had done so well in 2014, and they didn't know whether they were still a defensive team, or because there was more teams sitting back and settling for nil-all draws against them, and Atletico didn't know how to not counter.
And that, happened a bit last season too.
Yeah.
Where Atletico was just
and
too
they were
rigid.
Still in that stage of evolution. Whereas now I think it's, I mean, a point against Atletico Madrid in La Liga is, no matter whether you're at home or away, for 90% of the teams is a really good result, especially with their signings. So more teams are going to sit back, and they're going to need to be able to sit in a more comfortable in an attacking position, more creativity, and that's why I think Koke at that central position is going to be crucial, with the two guys coming in off the wings, Gamero, and remaining sturdy with the four and the two. So I think that's what we might see.
The next question we had was from @PDPD, PIDIPD. Of the new signings, who do you think will make the biggest impact? And that kind of segues nicely into my next point. Gaetan is going to be the one who makes the most impact. If he adjusts quickly, he changes almost everything about how Atleti attack. He's going to be able to play on the wing in a 4-3-3. You can play him in the two banks of four as a left winger, which means Koke gets to play in the middle and kind of becomes that link from defense to attack. Gaetan can score, Gaetan can create, he can dribble. He's got good speed, good pace, qualities that Atletico did not have in abundance the year before, or even much last year, when Carrasco was kind of the only one who had that direct style. Now you have multiple players who can play like that. So Gamero is obviously the number nine. He's gotten the headlines, but Gaetan is going to be the one who makes the most impact. He's going to change everything about how Atletico attack. Makes them a lot more dynamic and a lot more fluid. It allows them to play a 4-4-2, a 4-3-3, a 4-1-4-1, even a 4-2-3-1, like you've said. He will help transform them.
I can't disagree with that. He does so many things well. He's got great control. He's quick on the counter. He's got decent, good vision. and can finish. He runs with purpose. He's gonna get the most chances to make the biggest impact. So I mean that's massive as well. And when you look at our signings, there's a couple of them that aren't even going to be around really, maybe going loan and stuff. So it's really between him and Gamero. And I mean Gamero could likely score 15 goals or 18 goals, but I think overall and how affecting how Atletico play and things, it's going to be Nico Gaitán.
Yep, I 100% agree. It's going to be Nicolas Gaitán as our key signing this summer. The last question we have from our mailbag this week is from our good friend Ewan McTeer at E McTeer. Make sure you follow him. Great La Liga journalist. We hope to have him as a guest on this podcast at some point in the near future. Really,
he is
top,
really good. He's really
top
good
writer.
On Twitter as well.
Definitely.
He's a prolific writer. He writes a lot. And he does very good stuff on Twitter. Cause real kind of esoteric stuff, isn't it? He's into economics.
Kind of is, really, yeah.
He makes in economics fun. The economics of La Liga fun.
As fun as they can be, considering how much of a mess La Liga is financially.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
he asks, what are your thoughts on the newish UCL seeding system with the league winners in Pot 1? He points out that Atletico have the fifth top coefficient, yet will be in Pot 2. I think we have a slight difference of opinion here, you and I. I think that it's ridiculous that Atletico are in Pot 2. It hasn't really mattered the last couple of years as they made a Champions League final last year. But you have the fifth highest coefficient of anybody in Europe. You have to be in Pot 1. The new system rewards and incentivizes winning the league, which is fine. You know, winning the league is better than not winning it. But that's a system that is outdated. That's a system that is not in vogue, and it hasn't been in vogue since the 1980s, as more and more leagues began to add 2, 3, 4, even 5 teams from domestic league to the Champions League. It's an out-of-date system. I don't know why UEFA went back to it. It doesn't make sense, and it penalizes you if you don't win the league. And for teams like Atletico, who can't compete financially with the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid, it doesn't help them. It hasn't hurt them yet, but it doesn't help them being in Pot 2, despite how wildly successful they've been over the past 3 seasons in the Champions League. Their coefficient still is not enough to get them into Pot 1. I think it's ridiculous. What do you think?
I do disagree with that, because at the end of the day, they didn't win the league. And I appreciate the fact that La Liga is really strong. And they do well typically in Europe. And they've got Sevilla there, who've won the last 3 Europa Cups. Real have won 2 of the last 3. Barcelona won the one in the middle of that. But it's hard to compare leagues, so we really don't know. It's impossible to know. And I get that there's detailed algorithms that about the relation to coefficients and stuff like that. But they didn't win the league. They came 3rd. And as much as Atletico fans mightn't like me saying this, we can't compete with Real Madrid and Barcelona and things like that, but we have spent an awful lot of money, like, so I don't know if that's exactly something that we can, because it's kind of like Manchester United fans giving out about City buying the league, and I'm not saying by no means are Atletico going doing that, and
right.
They haven't spent, they're keeping it within reason, like, they're not going and absolutely taking the piss with their signings, but they have spent quite a lot of money, and this whole kind of, and I don't think it really helps to an extent, kind of being this, and it, okay, being the underdog, this scrappy underdog is fine, but being the, not feeling sorry for yourself, but this claim that we have spent an awful lot of money, and I just think that we didn't win the league, and at the end of the day, Leicester did win the league. And you can't say, oh, well, if Leicester were in La Liga, they would have came this place. They didn't, though, like, you know what I mean? So I just think that you're right in terms of incentivizing winning the league and that, and say Man City, they could turn around and say, no, but we're better than Leicester in reality. Yeah, but you're not, though, because you didn't
but
come
you didn't win the league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
you didn't finish second or third either.
And it might hurt Atletico, and I'd be upset at myself for saying this and all, but at the end of the day, we did come third, and we had every bit of chance to win the league or to at least come second. I mean, we messed it up, you know?
We hadn't lost to Levante.
Those bastards.
So glad they're in the second division. I hate going there.
Yeah.
Hated playing there. But anyway, those are our thoughts on the coefficient and how it relates to Atletico's pot position. That's about all we've got for this week. Now, next week, we will do our season preview, our in-depth season preview. We hope to have Martin on for that. We'll see how that develops in our negotiations with the lad. But next week will be our
price.
He's got to lower the asking price. I'm not paying those wages for him. But next week, as we close in on the start of the season, will be our La Liga and Champions League season preview. We'll go in depth. We'll name our starting 11. We'll name our top 18. And we'll have a lot of fun doing it. So join us then. In the meantime, make sure you like us on Facebook, Into the Calderon. Follow us on Twitter, at Into the Calderon. You can follow my personal account at JB Barron. You can follow Robbie at Bob Donadini. And in the meantime, we'll keep pushing out that content, and we will talk to you again next week. Take care.
Adios, amigos.